Welcome to the Putting Couch, another episode of Seymour's video podcast. And we today are going to conclude our three-part series with Dr. Bob Winters, one of the great sports psychologists in the world, who focuses in on sports performance and particularly in golf. And today, since Seymour Putter Company loves to talk about all things putting, we're going to continue with Dr. Bob's insights and tremendous research that he's done in, to helping golfers putt their best. And we've learned in these first two episodes that there are so many things that Dr. Bob's years and years and years of study have distilled down to really some very simple ideas that when we listen to them, they make so much sense and I know will help all of us putt better. Obviously, if you want to pursue these thoughts further, there's so much research out there from Dr. Bob Winters. And Doctor, we just really appreciate having you part of Team Seymour at Seymour Putter Company. One of the great things that one of the reasons we love to talk about putting is because we do think we build a better putter with riflescope technology. You hide the red dot and so many things all of a sudden get better and allow you to move from the technical to the art of putting and the performance of putting and the mental side of putting. Because with riflescope technology, we're going to take variables out of play that so many golfers just get stuck on. And so that's why you will putt your best with the Seymour putter. And we want to talk to you about that. But today, we really want to talk about the second part of this template, these 10 commandments that came down to you on how to putt your best. We heard the first five, and we were struck by the simplicity, but also by the just the impact that these first five commandments had. And Doc, you can review really quickly what we talked about with the first five, and I cannot wait to get to number 6 to 10 today. So, Doc, welcome back.
Well, you know, it's great to present the second, you know, half, the second, you know, tablet of the 10 commandments of great mental putting to you, Jim, and to Ted. And it's great to be here. Speaking of, you know, keeping things simple, I've always, you know, applied that, you know, to my sports psychology practice. We talked about the KISS philosophy. And a lot of people used to say that was keep it simple, stupid. But I've never worked with stupid people. I've always loved that acronym, though. I like to keep it simple and specific. And the great thing about Seymour is that it's a very simple riflescope technology. It's a great putter. So I like the KISS. I like to keep it super and Seymour. You know, so if you want to putt super, you just putt with the Seymour. So, you know, that's great. Well, we're going to continue with, you know, the second half of the Ten Commandments. But the first, you know, five, let's go over and do a quick review. Number one was every putt, no matter the distance, can be made. I mean, every putt you step into, you have to believe no matter the distance, it can be made. Number two, every putt deserves to be made. Full purpose, commitment, and intention with every putt. Then, you know, rule number three, you know, begin every putt with the end in mind. Really, you know, starting off your look by seeing, you know, what's going to happen with that ball going into the hole. Number four is being decisive. Decisive is your conduit to creating putting confidence. You know, being decisive eliminates doubt. And number five, well, any putt, it's just a putt. A putt is a putt is a putt. Doesn't matter if it's for par, bogey, birdie. I mean, you know what it is. Quit labeling it, but it's still just the distance. It's the physical execution of the putt that we need to talk about. So now as we move to commandment number six, all right?
And it's funny, real quick on number five, what I think about is the fact that, you know, half the putts that we miss, it seems like we miss because we're not taking it seriously enough. You know, we're thinking about something else. And for some reason, something hasn't clicked. And so we're not giving it its due. And so we miss it. And then the other half of the time, we give it more than its due. And it's, again, neither time do we go in with the approach that it's just a putt. It's either for some reason not big enough in our mind or it's too big in our mind and we miss it. And you're saying there's a sweet spot in the middle. It's a putt.
Yeah, let's talk about that then. You know, that's a great point you bring up for all of our viewers and listeners. So if we remember Goldilocks and the Three Bears, if we can kind of take our putting back, you know, to little fairy tales and little night stories that we tell our children. So you had Goldilocks who goes, you know, into the woods and she stumbles upon the bear's house and the bears have left, you know, to actually let their porridge, which is soup, cool. So there was one porridge that was very hot, one porridge that was very cold, and one porridge that was just right. So what does that mean as far as putting? For many people who have this apathetic, wandering mind, I don't care, that's sort of cold porridge. You know, they're careless. They have a careless attitude. And they could care less. I don't care if I make it or miss it. And they just sort of go through the motions, all right? Now, when you get to the porridge that's way too hot, no, that's people being very careful. They care so much. They want it so bad. They're trying so hard that they get angry, you know, when the putt doesn't go in, because they're really just trying, you know, so hard. Or they have so much anxiety and so much, you know, what we call emotional discomfort. And they just go, I just don't want to look bad. So that's careful putting. So on one side, you've got the cold porridge, which is careless. The other side is the hot porridge, which is careful. And then you come to the baby bear, where, you know, that porridge is just right. So what, you know, is that as far as, you know, confidence? That is putting carefree. You care, and you have, you know, specific intention of what you do. But you are free to actually putt and let your natural and developed athletic talent take over. And that's the whole point. We need to, you know, understand that a putt is a putt is a putt. But you have to be free, and you have to give yourself sort of this childlike innocence to step in and just go, hey, it's got to go somewhere. It might as well go to where I want it to go. And that's really, you know, what, you know, putting with a childlike, carefree, confident mindset is. And that's why we're saying, listen, until you can putt carefree, you're always going to have lackluster or, you know, inferior putting.
Fantastic.
So that's number five. That's the
thank you for that
is the
that
fairy
up.
Tale, yeah. You know, version of sports psychology by Dr. Bob Winters. Okay.
I love it.
Our bedtime story for, you know, today. All right. So let's go into number six. You know, so, you know, this is really inspired by Jack Nicklaus, because he says, you know, so many times over his career that every shot he stepped into, he sees this Hollywood spectacular. All right. He sees the shot. He sees exactly the fly of the ball. He sees it going in. And he's done this, you know, for years, you know, on the putting green. So commandment number six is that every putt is made in the mind long before the stroke is executed. So we see it. We feel it. We anticipate it. This is really what we want to see. This is positive visualization. This is very specific neuromuscular programming. So you see that, you know, every putt, I'm making it in my mind before I step in. So you are almost, you know, I want to say not, you know, expecting success, but expecting for you to stay in the process, to be in the moment, and to be engaged, you know, with this ball roll line and roll that ball right down, you know, to the ball roll line, and the ball goes into the hole. So if you could actually begin, you know, to actually say, I've got this putt made in my mind as you go in and step into it. Which leads me to the story of the great golden bear. And I heard this story many years ago at the PGA show, and I was walking around and kind of happened to stumble upon, you know, Phil Rogers, who, you know, for a little while there was Jack Nicklaus's short game coach when Jack needed some work on his wedge game and maybe a little bit on his putting. I mean, for years he had seen, you know, the legendary Jack Grout. But, you know, Phil Rogers was telling a story. And I just kind of happened to, you know, walk in and, you know, I introduced myself and Phil said, hey, how you doing? And they were talking about Jack putting. And they were talking about, I believe it was the Canadian Open in 1975. And here were two great ambassadors of the McGregor Golf Company, Jack Nicklaus and Tom Weisskopf. Now, we got to go back a little bit. Jack Nicklaus was an Ohio State Buckeye. Oh, so was Tom Weisskopf. And Tom Weisskopf was going to be the next Arnold Palmer, the next beloved golfer. Tom Weisskopf, tremendous golfer, fantastic, you know, just great, you know, golf course, you know, architect, designer, but an unbelievable talent. But you didn't know if it was going to be tempestuous Tommy or terrific Tom who showed up. I mean, he was just sort of sometimes very emotional. But, you know, on this day in the 1975 Canadian Open, Jack Nicklaus was playing head to head against Tom Weisskopf. And I think, you know, Jack had about a 12-foot putt, as told by Phil Rogers. And I'm listening to this story. And Phil said Jack stepped up in that putt, goes into that, you know, legendary Golden Bear crouch, and he actually hits the putt. And the putt goes into the center of the hole, goes down, and pops up, and it's on the other side of the hole. And you're sitting there going, ooh, it defied the law of gravity. Well, maybe Jack didn't study law at that time, right? But the point of it is he goes in there, and he's visibly, you know, he's pretty perturbed. You know, the bear, you poke the bear. He steps in, he taps it in. Weisskopf, who had that nice, you know, Silver Scott, Tommy Armour blade putter, knocked his 8-footer in. I think he went, you know, maybe one up, or brought the match to even, because the match was going into a playoff, you know, after this 18th hole. But as they approached, I think, the 18th tee, Tom Weisskopf, who, you know, I guess he always wanted to beat Jack. You know, that was one of his things. He really wanted to go head to head with Jack and beat Jack. I mean, maybe it's from the old Buckeye days, you know, and maybe it was from the McGregor staff, or maybe it was just because Tom wanted to beat, you know, the Golden Bear. Well, as they were walking to the tee, it was supposedly said that Tom Weisskopf sort of offers some olive branch to Jack and says, "Too bad you missed that putt, Jack." He goes, "It looked like you made it." And Jack snipped back really quickly. He goes, "Oh, I didn't miss that putt, Tom. I made that putt. It just didn't happen to stay in the hole." And I guess Weisskopf was going, "I'm just trying to give you a compliment here, right?" You know. And so the story goes on to 1995. And I think they're playing together in the, you know, like the third round. And Jack has got a putt for about a 25-footer on, you know, for birdie on the 18th hole there at Congressional Country Club. And Jack steps up there like he's normally done many times. He steps up there, knocks that putt in. And a lot of people have never seen Jack Nicklaus play this, you know, last couple of generations. Jack Nicklaus made more putts those final few holes coming down the stretch. We always talk about Tiger making a lot of putts. But it was Jack who really, you know, set, you know, the template for making putts coming down the stretch. He knocks it in. He goes in. I think he's one or two, you know, behind Weisskopf, who goes on to win, you know, the Open that year. So they're in the scorer's tent now. And Tom, you know, thinks he's going to actually ask it, you know, he's going to offer another olive branch to Jack. He goes, "Daggone you, Jack." He goes, "You just knew you were going to make that damn putt, didn't you?" And Jack looked at him. He goes, "No, Tom, I didn't know that I was going to make that putt, but I believed it was going in." And Tom's sitting there going, what in the world's going on here? I mean, I'm just trying to give him another compliment, right? And so, and years later, I became, you know, one of the mental game consultants for Jack Nicklaus when he had his Golden Bear tour down in Southern Florida, myself and my other colleague, Dr. Patrick Cohn. And I remember we were at, you know, a meeting, you know, with some of the advisors and appreciation dinner. And I asked Jack, you know, if that story was true. And he said, "Well, who told you that story?" And I said, "Phil Rogers." He goes, "Oh, well, I wish, you know, he wouldn't tell that story." But the point was, he asked me, he says, "What do you think?" And I guess, you know, the thing I thought was, I think I said, you know, to Jack at the time, I said, "Well, the point being is, when you step into the putt, and you hit the putt, you've done everything you possibly could to ensure that you're actually going to be successful in making that putt. And we hit a lot of great putts, and the putt, you know, still doesn't go in. It hits the hole and stays out. Sometimes we hit a bad putt and it goes in. I mean, that's the variability of putting." I said, "But that's really what you felt. Every putt, you know, you really believe is going to go in the hole." And I said, "You know, and you were just absolutely accurate there. You made that putt in your mind. It just didn't happen to have an objective result. It went in and came out. You know, gravity was defied." And I said, "The other thing is," I said, "when you're telling this story about, you know, you and Weisskopf," and Weisskopf goes, "You know, gosh, you know, you say you believed it, you didn't know it. What's the difference?" I said, "There's sometimes we have a deja vu experience when we step into a putt. And we just know what's going in. And I'm sure all of our listeners and viewers know that. You just know what's going in. But there's sometimes when you don't have that deja vu experience, you have to sort of work yourself into this belief that you know what's going in." You know, and so I finally, you know, said that. I said, "That's the whole point." I said, "If you don't really know what's going in, you have to work yourself up into this putting fervor that says, this putt's going in. I believe it's going in." And I remember Jack looked at me. And this was a long time ago, and he may not even remember. He goes, you get it. I wonder why Tom doesn't get it. And I think I was saying to, you know, to Jack, and I said, well, maybe that's why you've only won 18 majors and he's only won one, right? And Jack looked at me, he goes, that's a good point right there, right there. So, I mean, that's the whole point. But I love, you know, that story. I mean, hey, I didn't make that putt, you know, I mean, it didn't happen to stay in, but I made it in my mind.
I made it, yeah.
I made it in my mind. And that's why number six, every putt is made in the mind before the stroke is made. And as he was executing that stroke, he believed that ball was in the hole, but he made it. He did everything he possibly could. And that is commandment number six. And that story, it's just a wonderful story that I kind of got, you know, secondhand, but it's a great story. And if it's a little bit embellished, you know, a little bit, you know, untrue, you know, from, you know, the way stories go through the years, it still is a great lesson point. Now we go on to, we go on to number seven, and number seven, you know, came to me via from Arnold Palmer. He was talking to me about making solid contact. We talked about that, you know, in our first, you know, session, you know, starting these three sessions. And, you know, that whole notion about hitting the ball solid. When you step up into short putts, most short putts are missed because of apprehension, anxiety, nervousness. But if you step in there and you actually make center of contact, pure percussion point on your putter with the center of gravity on the ball, okay, center of mass to center of mass, and hitting it solid, you know, you are ensuring a solid strike. And that solid strike, you know, and that ball is going to be in the hole long before you even, you know, start to worry about it. So if you're going to actually worry about something on a short putt or feel like I have to make, here's what I suggest to people to do. I think you need to worry well. What does that mean? Worrying well means I'm going to worry and I'm going to put my energy, not worrying about the outcome, but I'm going to focus on the process of actually hitting this putt solid. Center of mass to center of mass, going down my intended ball roll line. And the more solid you hit the putt, you know, the putt tends to go end over end, hold its line, have good speed, and go in the direction that you want. And that's, you know, commandment number seven. Now, commandment number eight comes by all of our work all these years interviewing different people. And it came about with, you know, the great Swedish player, Helen Alfredsson. And Helen Alfredsson was a player that was actually, you know, very emotional, very volatile when she missed putts. And she was actually, you know, yelling a lot of words in Swedish that a lot of people didn't know at the time. They were pretty tough. But I remember talking to Helen, and I asked her one time, she goes, my putting, she goes, I just get so upset, you know, putting, I just hate it, you know, when I miss, you know, it just makes me so angry. And the point being is that, you know, we actually created, you know, sort of this strategy to say, hey, you know, number eight, commandment number eight is if you putt and miss, by golly, then at least miss with the conviction that you're going to try to make it. I mean, let's not go in what I call sort of soft or dandelion or wussy putting. I mean, going in there with the hit and hope stroke, the timid mouse stroke, the anxious, you know, stroke. Hey, we're going to step in. And if we're going to miss this, we're going to miss it with our guns blazing. We're going to hit the putt. We're going to hit it confidently. We're going to hit it solidly. We're going to hit it with this intended purpose. This is what I'm trying to do. If it misses, at least I missed it with the mindset that I was intending to make it. That right there just gets you through the fear. So we have to feel that fear sometimes. We feel it. We're nervous. But you've got to work through it. And the action plan, the mental action plan is, if I'm going to miss this putt, I'm missing it with the intention of making it. And that way, if you do miss, at least you have the consolation to say, I stepped up to the plate and I went down swinging, right? And that sure makes people feel a lot better about their putting. That's commandment number eight.
Real quick, can I ask a question? Just a quick follow-up there. I don't want to throw you off, but it's sort of, I think this sort of ties into seven and eight a little bit. With the Jack story as well, that, you know, being on tour and I've, you know, I've talked to players and watched them. And it's funny because a lot of them, it does feel like they have this mindset that, hey, Yeah, I missed it, but I mean, it wasn't me. I hit exactly what I wanted to hit. I did everything I wanted to do. So they really, it's hard to get them to say, you know, I missed that putt. I made a bad putt. And I don't know if that's part of the whole process of just, you know, taking, it sort of feels like it's not taking accountability, but it's sort of self-protection mode saying, you know, I really hit all great putts. And I remember even, you know, hearing a player after a tough day, you know, maybe loses the tournament, doesn't have a great putting day. Some of them will sit there and say, you know, I felt like I hit all good putts. So is that, what is that doing into the mind when the outcome wasn't what it needed to be, but you're still saying I did everything that I could do. And, you know, I hit a great putts.
Well,
I wouldn't change,
you know,
a thing.
There's two different, you know, strategies we have in sports psychology. One is called an ego enhancing strategy. And one's an ego protecting strategy. I give you a great example. Lee Trevino for years was just talk about a shot. And he, with his caddy, Herman Mitchell, they would go up to a shot, and Lee Trevino, you know, was always talking all the time. But what people didn't really realize with Lee Trevino, when he was talking, he was actually keeping his anxiety or nervous level. You know, he was a way for him to have, you know, composure. He would talk about it. So he would step up into a shot, and he would look at Herman. He goes, look at this lie, Herman. He goes, look at this lie. He goes, that lie, that ball sitting down, there's nobody can hit that shot. There's no way anybody can get that shot. And Herman would go, that's right, boss. Nobody can hit that shot. He goes, but I can hit that shot. So that would be an ego enhancing shot. I might be the only guy on here and hits that shot, right? And then if he hit that shot and it didn't come off right, he goes, well, I told you, you know, Herman, there's no way. There's no way I could have got that shot. That's an ego protecting strategy, right? So you work for you in both ways, right? So, you know, what I'm trying to help players understand, what you talked about, Jim, is so accurate, is that what's going on here? And I'm always trying to help players recognize and review and do something here with the putt, because there are four errors that we make in putting. And I'm going to talk about that. You have mental errors. And a mental error is, I rushed my putt. I didn't really have a good read of the putt. I wasn't ready, but I went ahead and hit it anyway. And I got, you know, the putt going anywhere. So there's mental errors. Okay. Now there's physical errors. Physical errors of execution. I just hit it too hard. I pulled it. I pushed it. I didn't hit it hard enough. I just, you know, sort of let go of it. You know, that's a physical error, and we know that. Then there are emotional errors. An emotional error is an anxiety error. You're just scared, and you don't allow yourself to even hit the putt. You leave a 3-foot putt a foot short. Okay. Because you're so scared, you know, that you're going to miss it, that you actually create a miss. That's called negative programming. And the final error that we see a lot on tour, and it's probably the one that most amateurs don't recognize they make because they think it's something about their stroke, it's called a sensory error. And they're the hardest to detect. It's when you misjudged a putt. You know, you didn't really see the subtle breaks. You didn't feel it with your feet, or you actually misjudged, you know, the visual aspect of that putt. It was just a misread. And so a lot of times you might have put on a really good stroke, okay, but you just misread it. That's a sensory error. And it's really important, you know, when you review a putt, that you go through this process, what happened right there? And so that right there, you know, if you miss, you've got to go here to commandment number 9, which means, you know, you must pull something positive out of every putt. And that's a huge one. To pull something positive out of every putt. And that's what, you know, goes into the review process.
And seems hard to do every time.
It's a tough mental skill, you know, Ted. That's why I have a job, all right? I help people, you know, who have trouble. Who's come to me and goes, what do you mean by that? Sounds hard. Yeah, it is hard. It's difficult. I mean, this whole notion about mental training and getting your mind in the right place, this isn't all, you know, unicorns and rainbows. I mean, it's tough. Diligent work. And that's why people talk about, you know, you've got to be mentally tough. And the point being, and Coach Nick Saban, you know, University of Alabama, you know, great coach, talked about this. He goes, mental toughness is you've got to face hard times. Hard times create, you know, tough people. Easy times create, you know, soft people. And so that's what we have to do. You know, missing is a huge aspect of putting. I mean, people will miss putts. But you've got to be able to say, after I missed the putt, what happened? So we go through sort of this movement evaluation process. Did I step into the putt, you know, with a committed purpose? Did I really have a specific line? Did I really see the putt where I wanted it to go? Did I hit it solid? And so when I say you have to pull something positive out of every putt, you got to ask yourself, did I actually adhere to my routine? Did I really commit 100% to that putt? Did I give it a great effort? And, you know, I missed it, but, you know, what was the miss? Was it physical error, mental error, emotional error? Did I read it correctly? And if you just hit a bad putt and, you know, and nothing else, I just hit a bad putt. You go, oh, I hit a bad putt. And then you have to be like the Lion King, Hakuna Matata, put the past behind you, and you've got to move forward. And that's really what acceptance is. Acceptance is the final part of any putt. You have to accept, did it go in or did it, you know, miss? And if it missed, you know, okay, why did it miss? But we have to pull something positive out of my effort. Did I hit it solid? Did I, you know, adhere to my routine? Was I committed? Because if you're, you know, just getting negative and going, I missed another damn putt, you know, nothing good, nothing positive comes out of negative self-talk or negative thought. Nothing. Because we have to, you know, prepare ourselves to hit the next putt, right? So we have to be able to accept this, you know, put closure on it, put it behind us and say, you know what? This next putt is the putt that gets me going, right? And that's really, you know, why number 9 is huge, which leads us, you know, right into number 10. And number 10 is this: great putters do indeed 3-putt. Great putters miss putts, but they miss putts while trying to make them. And I've always remembered the story about Seve, 4-putting number 16 at the Masters at Augusta. And they ask him, you know, how he started off 6 feet and he 4-putted. And he goes, well, he goes, the first putt, I miss. The second putt, I miss. The third one, I miss. The fourth one, go in the hole. And everybody was laughing. And they go, and he goes, why are you laughing? He goes, I tried on every one. He goes, I was, you know, focused on every one. But that just showed me the great Seve Ballesteros missed putts. I mean, I listened to Freddie Couples and Brant Snedeker being at the Masters talking about 4-putting, 5-putting. You know, welcome to the party, pal. I mean, it's tough. So the point of it is, you know, with putting, it goes, it's a skill, it's an art, it's a science. But as I said, you know, in session number 1, it is mostly about your human disposition to choose, to select. This is how I want to think. This is how I want to feel. This is how I want to perform. And the moment that you change your mind about your putting, you change your putting game. That's my trademark. Change your mind, change your game. And what that means is the moment you change your mind about the things you're thinking about in your putting and you change them in a positive way, the things that you really wanted to change, you start to change and you start to make putts. And those are the 10 commandments of mind power putting.
That is absolutely awesome.
Very good.
I shouldn't do this, but for some reason, I feel like I want to have the last word on this. You hear miss and forget, you know, and what I'm hearing from you is no, you don't want to miss and forget. You want to miss and move forward. You want to miss and move forward. You want to take something positive forward. And, you know, you're the one that just mentioned the 4-putt, the 5-putt. I'm going to talk about a 6-putt that Ernie Els had on the very first hole at Augusta. Okay. Yeah. And I think we remember that because it was talked about. It was written about. Can he ever putt again? Will he ever be able to play again? Is this going to be the end of his career? And Ernie Els, 1 week later, okay, went to Hilton Head to play at Harbortown. 1 week later. And one thing he did is he switched putters to a Seymour putter. Okay. Mm. He was not using a Seymour putter at the Augusta, but he switched to a Seymour putter that he'd had with him and had been thinking about putting in play. Something happened by putting that Seymour putter in play. We talk about the fact that it does have some indicators on it, and maybe those indicators helped him miss and move forward. But that weekend at Harbortown, he gained over 10 strokes gained putting, which I have done the research, cannot find another weekend where any tour player gained 10 strokes gained putting in a 2-day period. That was 1 week after 6-putting the very first hole and having the world basically write him off as somebody that would be ruined. So my takeaway is that he was able to take that and somehow move forward and become the great putter that he's obviously always been and knew he was capable of. And he actually went to a level that no player had ever been at over the weekend, gaining 10 strokes gained putting on the putting green.
Well, you know, Jim, that's really what we consider failing forward. Because, you know, when you finally realize, how do I become successful? You realize that failing doesn't really do anything to you unless you choose to make it work against you. So if you can fail forward, learn from it, that's when you become really successful. And that's why, you know, when we talk about Seymour, you know, you keep it simple and specific, and you keep it super, and you keep it a Seymour. And that's exactly what Ernie Els did. It was simple for him. And I said, there's nothing more simple than putting a ball into the cup and then pulling it out of the cup. That's a pretty that's a pretty simple maneuver. And I'll tell you what, if you get yourself a Seymour putter, you know, you'll find yourself doing that a lot more.
You've been either listening or watching The Putting Couch, the video podcast brought to you by Seymour Putter Company's tour team. This concludes a three-part series with Dr. Bob Winters. I think one of the great, most invigorating three series, our three program series that I've ever been a part of. Doc, we can't wait to have you back. And there's so much out there,
Thanks,
for golfers.
Thanks,
and we're going to all try to get the word out how much fun it can be to just think about putting and making putts. Thanks so much, Dr. Bob Winters. We'll have you again soon.
Take care. Thank you.
We appreciate you joining us. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do wherever you're listening. Be sure to leave a rating and review, because that's how we get the Putting Couch podcast content in front of more people. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media and tag us at Seymour Putters or hashtag Team Seymour.